Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Well, some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings. Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? What sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, don't be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." And he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout the month of November, but especially during this last week of the liturgical year, the Church has us focus on the four last things. Today, the Church has us focus on the first two of those four last things, death and judgment. It does so in a way that's a little bit frightening. Today's first reading, we see an image of what's to come in the book of Revelation. Angel looking like a son of man, and another angel come on out with sharp sickles in their hand. Another angel comes and cries out, "Use your sickle, reap the harvest. The earth's harvest is fully ripe." Then another angel came out with yet another sickle, saying, "Use your sharp sickle to cut the cluster from the earth's vines, for its grapes are ripe." And then the angel swung his sickle over the earth and cut the earth's vintage and threw it into a great winepress of God's wrath, of God's fury. As if that's not enough, Jesus in the Gospel, speaking about the temple, says, "All that you see here, the days are coming when not one stone will be left on another. Many will come deceptively in my name, saying, 'I am he, the time has come.' Don't follow them. Then there are going to be wars, insurrections, earthquakes, famines, plagues, mighty signs from the sky." It sounds like a horror movie in which we're not a spectator, but we're the victim. What should be our attitude toward this? Jesus in today's gospel gives us a few imperatives, all grammatically negative imperatives. Don't be deceived. So we got to know how to discern truth from falsity. Don't follow them. We're supposed to be following him at all times, not giving in to the hysteria. And don't be terrified. Don't be filled with horror. He's telling us all of this precisely so that we won't be filled with horror. Because just as we know that is coming, we also know what's going to succeed it. The proper attitude we're supposed to have was our response to the Word of God today. The Lord comes to judge the earth. And that should be with an exclamation point for those who text or use email with an emoticon of a smiling face. What do we pray? "Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them exult." Why? Because the Lord is coming to judge the earth. It's the Lord coming. It's not the mobs in Ferguson, Missouri coming. It's the Lord coming. Then it goes, because the Lord, before the Lord, for He comes, for He comes to rule the earth. And He shall judge, rule the world with justice, and the peoples with His constancy. We should be excited that the one who's really coming to do that harvest is the Lord Himself. Jesus spoke about the judgment as a harvest, that He would send it on out, including with sickles, to separate the wheat from the chaff. This will happen at the end of time. The whole thing about the winepress in the book of Revelation is that we're supposed to be carrying within the skins the real fruit. And if we're growing in union with the Lord as branches on the vine, if we've got the Lord's divine sap coming in, when those grapes are pressed, out will come our union with Christ's own blood from the fruit of the vine. But if we're wild grapes, if we're doing our own thing, if we're not really attached, that's when we've got to be a little afraid of being thrown into the fire of God's wrath. But in ordinary circumstances, if we're living following the Lord rather than following these imposters, believing the Lord's truth, not being deceived, having faith instead of being terrified because the Lord is with us, then we've got nothing to worry about, because when the grapes are mature, we're ready for the eternal banquet. I tell a story a lot because it really, I think, illustrates the way we're supposed to be preparing for judgment. It's a story when I was a little boy. You may have heard it, especially if you've come to funerals every once in a while. I'll cite it. But when we were little kids, my dad would leave very early in the morning to go to work in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Every day, almost like clockwork, between 4:10 and 4:15, he would come home. We'd hear the squeaky brakes of our Ford van start to squeal as he put on the brakes, and then he'd shut the steel door very firmly. And when that happened, all four of us kids and our black Labrador retriever, Toby, would run down to the back door of our house, just waiting to be the first one to jump up into the strong arms of my father and give him a big hug and a kiss home. Those were most days. There were a few days in which my mom said, I'm going to tell your dad about that when he comes home. So that when 4:10 came around, we were anxious. And then we'd hear the squealing brakes. And then we'd hear the door. And we were trying to hide ourselves under the biggest pile of dirty clothes we could find. It's the same way with judgment. When we're living in a way that would make God proud, we can't wait for Him to come. We're saying the Lord's coming to judge the earth. Hip, hip, hooray! But it's only when we're doing our own thing, when we're misbehaving, when we're naughty, that we begin to look to the judgment with dread. The Lord's coming to judge the earth. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Should be the attitude of those who are really living as Christians. Shouldn't be terror. Shouldn't be susceptibility to deception. Shouldn't be following these false prophets. But that should be a time where we redouble our efforts precisely in order to follow the Lord. Today we celebrate the feast of a saint who shows us how to do this, as the saints always do. They are the great interpreters of God's holy word. They show us what it means, rather than necessarily just explaining what it means. St. Catherine Alexandria was an 18-year-old girl when she was converted, and she really grew to know the faith. She was a recipient of an incredible classical education. She came as a Christian before the Emperor Maxentius, the beginning of the 300s, and as the magistrates would try to do in order to show off their intelligence and education, he got into a debate with this little girl. And this debate, in the, you know, St. Catherine was blowing the emperor out of the water with her philosophy, with all her training, with her wit. So she was imprisoned as he figured out exactly what he was going to do with her. He didn't want to execute her on the spot. He wanted to beat her intellectually before she would be martyred, because otherwise it would seem vengeful. But as he was away on a little business, his wife, the queen, or the empress, and one of his children went to see her in prison, and they were converted by her to Christianity. And so then what he thought he would do was, with 50 other philosophers, but him in the center, they would have a debate with Catherine. 51 against 1. You know who won? Catherine won. So he had basically had it. So he was going to martyr her, and as the legend of her martyrdom says, she was killed on a spiked wheel. Her body was eventually taken to the monastery on Mount Sinai that bears her name. If you've ever seen the beautiful icon of Jesus, which is one of our banners in the main body of the church, that icon, the most famous image of Christ, the Pentocrator, the ruler of all, is from her monastery, directly on top of her tomb. St. Catherine was martyred. She didn't fear the judgment of the Lord, because till the very end of her life, as she was being crushed by that spiked wheel, she was giving forth that precious mature wine that had come from her loving union with Christ the Vine. The martyrs teach us how never to be afraid of death, because we recognize right on the other side of death is union with the Lord. But what we need to do here in life is we need really to grasp that the end is coming and start to live for real. A couple weeks ago on the bulletin cover, I put the most grotesque one. I thought that people would stone me. In fact, people have told me that they love that bulletin cover for whatever reason. But you've got the little saying at the bottom that these Capuchin Franciscans in that monastery there in the Czech Republic speak to us. Where you are, we once were. Where we are, one day you'll be. Remember death and learn how to live. It's only when we grasp that we don't have all the time in the world, that the Lord is coming to judge the earth, and He may come today, that we start to really get our priorities straight. We start living as we ought to live. When we convert, then we've got nothing to be afraid of. But if we still want to go on living the same life we've been living up until now, living as everybody else lives, thinking we'll have safety in numbers, then we should be afraid. Jesus gives us today, in order to change, in order to evaluate how that grape is maturing, to give us a chance so that whenever it comes, we might be able to pour ourselves out in a way that will give Him eternal glory. In the collect of today's Mass for St. Catherine, you remember what you heard. Grant that through her intercession, we may be strengthened in faith and in constancy, and spend ourselves without reserve. Pour ourselves out without measure, with faith and constancy. That's precisely the prayer we make anew as we come here and we receive Jesus' having spent Himself with faith and constancy down to the last drop of what He contained within. As we prepare to see this wine converted into His blood, we ask for a similar transubstantiation in us, that we might become one body, one spirit, one vine with Christ, and that He may grow in us to full maturity, so that if the end is today, or even if the end is in many decades, we might be ready to join those rejoicing heavens when the angels lift their sickles in triumph. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.